It's 88.5 KCSN, and we're joined today by Benmont Tench. He is here to spend time at a station that in no small way we owe a debt of gratitude to you, Benmont, and to the rest of the Heartbreakers. And I want to say once again, thank you for all you've done.
You're welcome, and the city of Los Angeles owes a great debt to you all for a fantastic world-class radio station.
Well, thank you, my friend, and we're not being patronized. And Benmont and I go back a ways.
70-something.
Yeah, why did you have to throw out a decade?
No, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no shame.
That's right. We're still trooping along. Now, you've got a new solo album out. You should be so lucky. As I understand it, Benmont, Quinn Johns, who produced the record, also kind of encouraged you to say, you know what, Benmont, it's time. You've got songs. Let's make a record.
Well, what he did was years and years ago, like 15 years ago or something, he said, let's make a record sometime. We were working on somebody else's record. And I filed it away because I didn't have any confidence. And also because it's Glenn Johns and he's my friend, so I thought, oh, he's being nice.
Right.
And he said it again a couple times over the years. And this time, I had some encouragement about the songs from other friends of mine, Blake Mills, Sean and Sarah Watkins, and Matt Sweeney, folks like that. And so, not wanting the songs to just never be heard, believing in the songs, I just called Glenn and said, you serious? He said, absolutely.
And so what may have come out as being something that was just a couple of friends talking suddenly became a, okay, now we are going to do this. And it's an interesting dynamic when you mention the fact that so many of the performers on the record are really your true friends.
They are.
And when you get into a situation when you're recording like that, I guess part of it's going to be so natural. It's going to be, there's an unspoken dialogue because you guys have played and jammed with each other. But there's also a discipline that comes into the studio and it's, okay, now let's make the best record we can.
We were setting out to make the best record we possibly could, but I come from a band.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm used to playing music with my friends. And it's the best possible way to make music. And for icing on the cake, we made this one on tape, which is my favorite way to make music. And we only had 11 days. So we had to have the discipline to try to play our best. But it took a lot of pressure off me making a record and being the focus of attention instead of off to the side to know that I was in there with one of my dearest friends producing and a bunch of my dearest friends playing on the record.
And so that also, I'm sure, on the other side of the coin, you weren't going to get patronized by any of them. They were going to tell you when they thought it was what you wanted it to be.
Well, they're my friends, so they don't have anything to gain by not telling me the truth. You know, I have my friends because they do tell me the truth tactfully and kindly for the most part, you know.
Yeah, once in a while, you know, we all get a little out of hand.
Yeah, but we had a wonderful time. We thoroughly enjoyed it. Some of it was, you know, we were serious about it, but we really enjoyed it.
Well, it certainly comes across in the record itself, You Should Be So Lucky. I'll mention that album title many times.
Please.
Yes, I want to burn it into their consciousness. Why don't we have you play one, and we'll come back and talk in a moment. Benmont Tench is joining us here. He's got his new album out, You Should Be So Lucky. It's his solo effort. There's so much to discuss, and we will discuss that. But first, some music from Mr. Tench on KCSN.
This is a song called You Should Be So Lucky, and I'm going to play it on guitar. It's not like this on the record, but, you know, it's like this today. Well, you should be so lucky. You should be so sly as to take my fancy, as to strike my eye. Yeah, you should be all that. You should have such stuff. Yeah, you should be so lucky that I would give. Who told you I was looking? Who said that I was out for any piece of the action that you were all about? Did you think you're so high?
Did you think me so low? Did you think you were the question to which I couldn't say no? Well, you should be so lucky. Your life should be so sweet as to find yourself one man that's worth a tenth of me. With a heart so strong and an eye so clear, yeah, you should be so lucky as to make it out of here. From the day we met, I knew that we were meant for disgrace or glory, hell or heaven bent. Look into my eyes, my little baby blue. Bend your ear to my lips and let me tell you the news. Under another sky, under another sun, maybe some other guy would tell you you were the one. But that's another story, and this one's already foretold. I hate to spoil the ending, but you ain't coming in from the cold. Well, ain't the river pretty, just like a picture book? We'll come and take a walk, we'll take a closer look. Show a little trust, put your hand in mine, and I'll show you lucky while the waters rise. Yeah, you should be so lucky, your life should be so sweet as to find yourself one man that's worth a tenth of me. Yeah, you should be all that, you should have such stuff. Yeah, you should be so lucky, but now your luck is all used up. Yeah, you should be so lucky, but now your luck is all used up.
It's 885 KCSN. Ben Montench joining us live in studio and playing songs, including the title track of You Should Be So Lucky. Now, I see you threw us a curveball right away, Ben Mont. You typically known as a master keyboard player, and you come in and you start off by playing guitar. See, that's how versatile you are, Mr. Tench.
That's kind of you to say, but it, even just that sets my hand trembling just from the stress of playing the guitar. I am not an old hand at the guitar. Well, I'm an old hand at the guitar, but there's more sleight of hand on the guitar.
Well, you pulled it off. The people just heard you do it. It sounded pretty good.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Now, we do mention the fact, you know, in no jest, we have so many musicians that come in here, both people that are from Los Angeles and just admirers. That really talk about how Dawes, for example, a great example is they talked about how when you came into the session for Time Spent in Los Angeles, they were stunned at how you listened to a bit of a demo, sat down, bang, and nailed the keyboard part, and they couldn't believe it that you could do it so instinctively.
I think the key to it for anybody who's playing music is, like you said, I came in, I listened to the demo. And not to learn a part off the demo, but to learn the song. And if you're listening to the song more than you're listening to yourself, you're gonna go down the right path with the song. You know, if you're listening to yourself more than the song, you're in trouble.
Well, you guys, you know, for a moment, to talk about when you and Tom and the Heartbreakers played at our benefit, I remember talking with both you and Mike right before you guys went on, and you had decided on the spot to play some of those songs that you hadn't played in 20 years, and
yeah,
you had
did.
To just innately try to remember.
Yeah, it was really fun trying to remember, and it was really fun for Steve Ferroni probably because he hadn't played any of those songs.
So he didn't even have any muscle memory.
And
to go
he's
by.
A miracle, so he just he nailed it.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because there were a few of the titles that you talked about that evening before you went on that you said, well, we're going to take a flyer at these, and we haven't played them in 20 years. And knowing that, I was able to go out and watch and then watch you guys communicate, sometimes through a glance, maybe get a key from someone, and no one else would know that you guys didn't know. It must take a lot of practice to be able to just get into that and find it as, you know, 10 seconds into the song, you found the groove.
Well, the thing with that band is that the Heartbreakers and Mudcrutch before the Heartbreakers, because the Heartbreakers grew out of Mudcrutch, we were just people who had the same sensibility and innately knew how to play together. But if you put as much time over the years, let alone practice, but actually just playing together as we have, it's been quite a while, then you learn to communicate really well. And when you play music right, to me, it's a very intimate form of communication between human beings. You know, that's my favorite way to play it. There's all sorts of ways to play music and make records and build them up and use computers and do this and that. But to me, the pleasure comes from playing music with other human beings. And you hear the song, you play the song, you react off of each other playing the song.
And it's something that you have as a musician, you have as a member of that band and in many other settings shown that innate talent for. Now, we mentioned a band. You had a core band on You Should Be So Lucky. Don Was, Ethan Johns, Blake Mills, Jeremy Stacy.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool when the bassist in your band actually is the president of the label that your records are going to come out on. That's probably an interesting dynamic. Don, would you play what I told you to play?
Actually, Don's on the record because Glenn Johns and I were thinking of who would be on the record. We had a couple of great ideas for bass players, and Glenn called me one day and said, I think Don would like to play the record.
We were not
on Blue Note.
He was hesitant to even...
No, we were not on Blue Note.
Yet.
No, we weren't on anything. We just chose to make the record under our own steam. And Glenn called me when we were thinking about bass players, and I said, I think Don was it. He said, I think Don was his in if you give him a call. And I said, I love Don. Don is known as a producer, now as the head of Blue Note Records.
Right.
But he's also one of the best, finest bass players in the world.
Really, he is.
So I was thrilled to have Don come down and play bass. We wound up on Blue Note Records simply because we were talking with him one day as friends. Said, Don, you know how the music business works now. We don't. You know, it's gone this way in different ways to release records. They call it a platform now that you release a record. What the heck is a platform?
Yeah.
So, and we thought he would give us advice, and instead he said, let me put it out. And we were just, you could have knocked us over with a feather.
Well, and it's got to be a great feeling because of the records that they've put out under his tenure and knowing him too, he quite eloquently talks about how he really does want to preserve an authenticity and a vibe. And it's much what you're talking about, maintaining that purity of intent. And he's been pretty good about all the records they've put out. They have, in a time when there's a lot of machination, he sticks to the tried and true authenticity.
He's not averse to experimenting, but he likes to do it that way. The thing about it is you don't want to be a purist in a pedantic sense. You don't want to be a purist in like it's this way. You have to recognize that if the Beatles had been purists, they never would have stretched the capability of tape the way that they did. So you can't be a purist to your own detriment. But you can find the way that is your purest form of expression of the music and do that. And when I use the word pure, I don't mean to sound like somebody doing a lecture on rock history 101.
Right,
it's
right.
Like you do what feels right to you. That's what I mean. You do what feels right to you. And Glenn and I, from the day we met, we had a similar sensibility, which is probably partly because I learned my sensibility from listening to Glenn Johns' records.
I know it is funny when you think about... when we had Band of Horses and they talked about working with Glenn. And just as you're saying, if you rattle off a half dozen, maybe 10 of the records he's worked on, they're these monumental records where you sit back and go, wait a minute, one guy was behind the boards on all of those?
You can look where he was behind the boards just as an engineer, and you get Beggar's Banquet and Let It Bleed, and I think you get, you know, Honky Tonk Women, and, you know, I think he did that, and I believe he did You Really Got Me for the Kinks. You've got the Beatles' Let It Be album, and then you get to Glenn as a producer, and you've got him as executive producer on The Face Is Not As Good As a Wink, on Who's Next, you know, producing the first couple of Eagles records. The guy clearly knows what he's doing, and he's still working. We did marvelous records with Ryan Adams really recently, and the Band of Horses record that he did.
Well, you mentioned Ryan Adams. Ryan also contributes to the record, as does Gillian Welch and Dave Rawlings, Joel Jerome, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom was in on it. And I have to mention Ringo Starr, because yeah. Richard typically is listening at this time in the afternoon, and we want to make him feel loved.
Hello, Richard. I love you, Richard.
Now, you have...
again, and I mean it.
I know that. This is a question that I don't want it to sound patronizing, but because you have played and you've become, as many of the articles I've read about this album, they so typically, so many of the writers say you're the go-to guy. You've become a go-to guy in when people want a keyboard player of a certain stature, you're the go-to guy. And you have played with a lot of people through the years, and they just happen to now be, you know, for many of them, acclaimed superstars. It must be kind of funny how, you know, you guys have been just pals sitting in the living room making music, but at different moments you have to acknowledge each other's quote-unquote stature as musicians.
You just kind of enjoy playing with each other, that's all. And the only reason I'm on all those records is they asked somebody else first and they said no.
See, you make yourself available. You know, you're just too giving, Ben Mundin.
Yeah, that's me, giving.
Giver.
Yeah, that's me.
Now, when you went into this record, some of these songs, you were writing for a long time.
Yeah, I've written my whole life.
And there was a period even where I think you might even went into Nashville and did some Music Row, like writing's sake.
I did. I did it for the sake of trying to learn more about songwriting. And I learned about songwriting, but I also learned about myself that's not the most fun way for me to write a song. A couple of the people that I wrote with, Gary Nicholson and Delbert McClinton in particular, and a few other friends, we wrote really good songs. And some of them were, you know, well-crafted and more of an, you know, like a well-made song. But for me, the joy of songwriting generally comes, with a few exceptions like that, from writing by myself. And that's what I learned from the experience of going to Nashville and learning to write assigned songs.
Yeah, and these songs, some of them, you wrote, I guess, for the record, and some, I know the one record, Ikor Ruja, I saw we were just, right before we came to you, we were playing the new Conor Oberst record that Jonathan Wilson has produced.
Sure.
And apparently you were at Jonathan's house and just doing what you guys do, which is, you know, playing some music, and the inspiration for that song hit you while at his house, yeah?
Glenn had requested that I write a couple of instrumentals, and I went up to Jonathan's house to demo a couple of the songs that were complete with vocals, because he had volunteered to help. And he had to take a phone call. And when he took a phone call, I started messing around on the piano, and that song showed up. And that's what I learned in Nashville, is for me it's better if the song shows up than if I try to track it down and strangle it. And that one instrumental did show up when I was just hanging out at Jonathan's. Good thing he took that phone call.
Yeah, well, see, you never know which way the road's going to take us. Why don't we play another one? Are you going to do keyboards this time? You're known for that, you know. I don't know if
you... Yeah, well, this is very simple. like I said, I played the title track, You Should Be So Lucky, on the guitar, and it doesn't go like that on the record, but it goes like that today. This song is called Like the Sun, or Michoacan. Michoacan is the name of a series of... it's a state in Mexico, I believe, but it's also the... I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, it's also the name of a few Mexican food stands downtown L.A. that are great food stands. And it's called Like the Sun, or Michoacan, and I'm going to play it the way I play it now. the record, it's kind of a sunny California jangly 12-string song.
But it's already taken on a different life to some degree?
Absolutely, of course. Why not?
Well, that's why you come to 88.5 KCSN. Ben Montench, we are enjoying him in our company today, live on 88.5 KCSN.
It looks like the right time of day for this song.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Nighttime settles on Los Angeles. Hillsides darken in the distances. One light illuminates all of this. Julia smiling like the sun. A young man stands in a tent city. Looks round, gestures at infinity. Says my house is bigger than yours will ever be. Julia smiling like the sun. All my days are bright and lonely everywhere I roam. All the nights are light and only one light lights me home. Midnight, nowhere on the 101. Bill and David at Michoacan. Guitars ringing through the canyons. Julia smiling like the sun.
Is a perfect time of day for that one. So many references to the parts of LA that keep many of us living here. It's changed a lot in the time since you guys all got together in a car and drove in from Gainesville, hasn't it?
It has, and so have I, you know. So it's good with me. Whether it's changed for better or worse, I've changed for the better. And the places go one way. The buildings come up, the buildings go down, too many of them go down. But one thing that gets deeper is the friendships.
Yeah.
You know? And to me, Los Angeles isn't just a geography, it's the people. And I have such amazing friends here. And there's such an amazing musical community here. The one that I'm most familiar with is based around Largo at the Coronet,
right.
The great club and theater in town. And Jonathan Wilson has a great community of musicians. And I'm friends with so many wonderful people, and everybody's really supportive. Like I said, I made the record because, you know, Blake Mills, Taylor Goldsmith, Jackson Brown, Matt Sweeney, who lives in New York but is out here a lot, Sarah and Sean Watkins and Flanagan at Largo, everybody's very supportive and said, no, these are good songs. You should put them down on tape.
It's funny, you're a mind reader, because I was going to talk about how you do have, you have worked a lot, and it's because you do love to play, and you've worked with a lot of musicians. You've mentioned the Largo scene, of which you are, certainly a member in good stead in that community. But you've worked with both, the biggest artists and fledgling artists. What inspires you when you get a call? Is it you listen to some music and or you've seen the band? What inspires you to work with some of the newer artists that you've worked with where you end up saying, you know what, yeah, okay, I'm in?
I'm curious. I like the energy, and almost invariably, it's somebody, the producer is a friend of mine and I trust them,
mm-hmm.
or I know somebody in the band.
So it becomes something where you at least have a certain frame of reference that you're going to go in and do what you do best and feel part of.
Well, I like the energy of people who are discovering themselves. I love the early Beatles albums.
Mm-hmm.
I think Twist and Shout by the Beatles is one of the greatest records ever made, and they're still discovering who they are. So I like the sound of people discovering things. But the thing to remember in all this stuff about sessions is, I'm in a band, and somebody asked me the other day, why didn't you choose sessions or a band? And it's like, I chose a band. I chose the Heartbreakers. So the Heartbreakers come first and always. And if we have an extended period of time or my friends call when we have some days off, then I may go do a session. And what's wonderful is I go in with a young band, I'll go in with a metal band, mm-hmm. I'll go in with who knows who, and I'll find something, I will learn something, and I'll go back to a Heartbreakers record, and I won't steal something from that other band, but I will have learned through the experience, and I can apply it the next time I work with the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, you've been informed about something new. Yeah.
I've been informed. I've had like a conversation with somebody outside of my sphere of reference, and brought that in, and I can carry that conversation on with Heartbreakers.
Well, speaking of which, apparently you guys are working on a record. After 37 years, and I'm, by the way, I'm quoting that because they've actually written it on the radio copy on the back. I don't know if you know that, but they've actually given the 37 years as keyboardist and founding member of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Well, that's nothing. If you go to Mug Crutch, I sat in with Mug Crutch for the first time in 71, you know, so that's a little bit
don't
more
do
than
the math.
That. I can't do math. That's why I'm a piano player.
I don't want you to do the math because it reminds me of how long we've known each other, and then we start
realizing.
Makes
me happy how long we've known
each
other.
I know. I love the fact that we've been friends for so long, but at some point when it starts hitting so many decades, I start realizing I'm not 17 anymore.
Yeah, but hey, it's fantastic. Are you kidding? It's like we're still here.
I know.
And there's lots that we've seen, and there's lots left to see, you know, so... You know, codgers be damned.
Well, I certainly hope that you and I are vital and still happening, but I've got kids in college now. That always freaks me out alone.
Bet it does.
I go with them to the dorm, and I think I should be, you know, there and meeting the nice young co-eds, and I realize I'm older than their parents.
Now, Sky.
Well, it's just, you know, I'm still a rock and roller. You know that. It's
I know
never
that
gonna
for
get
a fact.
Never
I know that
be
for
tamed.
A true fact. Ladies and gentlemen.
Now, when do you think, do you have any idea, any sense when you guys will decide that that's a record, the Petty record, Heartbreakers record?
We are precariously close to that decision.
Really?
Yeah, like precariously. It may have been made, you know?
I just remember when we did the benefit, and I only keep harkening back to that because for those of you who are fans and supporters of KCSN, you know, when we asked these guys to support us, you know, there were a million reasons why a band of the stature of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers might say no. And a lot of it comes to, you know, they're constantly being asked and there's everybody wants a part of them in this business. And when they said that they would support us, it really was an emotional moment for me because you guys understood what we were trying to do here and
yes.
supported it.
Yes,
and
it
was something that I said it to you that evening, and I'll say it till my dying breath, forever, forever grateful for you guys choosing 60 days into the launch of this radio station to support us in the way you did. We'll be forever indebted.
Well, once again, you're very welcome, and I know, like, for us, that show kind of marked a little thing to me. I don't know about the rest of the band. I can't speak for the rest of the band. But we went back and we looked at some old songs, said, let's do these. And we decided, let's wing some old songs. Let's learn some old songs. And I think that out of that grew the stand we did at the Fonda and at the Beacon Theater last year. That's what it looks like to me from my side of it.
And it did, the you know, one thing we know, and certainly anyone who was at one of those two shows, I stood in the back of the room and watched every single person involved, the band, the management, the label, everybody in the audience were true believers in those evenings. And you could feel that, you used the word earlier, community. You could feel a community that was so powerful. It was magical. It really was.
Music is a potent force.
It certainly is. Well,
music
in your hands.
Is a really potent force.
In your hands, and we're lucky that, we're able to share the spirit of the music that you make. Do you want to play one more for us? Do you got one more that you want to
play? Probably got one more. Let me see. What should I play? Let me think about it.
What do you feel like?
Do you want to play anything off of the record, and I won't play that?
Well, I want you to be, whatever you're inspired by, Ben.
Let me see. A slow song or fast song?
I want you to be happy.
I want to play a slow song, but is that dangerous at drive time? Are people going to fall asleep and hit another car?
You're Ben Montez. They want to feel what's inside your heart.
It's called Hannah. I feel the heat of your hand through the back of my coat, repeating every letter of the note you wrote. For such a little girl, you got big ideas, and I can only hope I know what this one is. Where your hair falls into your eyes just so, covering the little things I want to know. And if this is a dream, the kind that don't come true, you're worth every mile I ever drove for you. Hannah, well, I need you, baby, in my back of my car. Wanna hear you holler from the end of the hall. Wanna drink every drop from your loving cup, and love you, baby, till we can't stand up. Hannah, from the end of the hall. Wanna drink every drop from your loving cup, and love you, baby, till we can't stand up. Well, I need your hand, and that's the truth, from the crown of your head to your pretty little shoes. And I want you like I never wanted no one. You're the dawn of the day and the setting of the sun. Hannah,
that was gorgeous. It's 88.5 KCSN. Ben Montench has been our guest today, playing songs from You Should Be So Lucky, a great musician and a truly good man. And we obviously encourage all of you to take part in what is a great musical experiment, where he went out and you know, found his own songs and shared them with friends. So let's continue to share these songs by acquiring them legally. we throw that part out.
Appreciate it.
That's another way here in the public radio world, where we don't do calls to action. We can't say things like go out and buy a record. We say, we encourage you to acquire this record.
We gently encourage you.
Yes. You know, but in your case, I may break the rules and tell them to, you know, do what I say, please. But in all seriousness, it's a wonderful album.
Thank you, Scott.
It not be? Because it comes from your heart and the musicians that joined you in that friendship that you talked about are on it. And it's a document that is long coming.
Yes.
It was long coming. That's all right. It arrived in good time.
It arrived at the right time.
Yep, it was the right time. It is, of course, Ben Montent's You Should Be So Lucky is the name of the record. And we were lucky to have you stop by today and see a studio that it, you can see there's only one plaque in this studio, and it's got your mug on it. There's one plaque in the studio.
And we've also got Shovel here.
And then your friends with Mr. Shovel.
Which is a fantastic thing to see.
Yeah, his mug. Not so
I see
much.
His mug.
Not so, no, he's a good man, too. Well, enough of the fawning. We do want to say thank you for coming out.
And thanks for having me.
We look forward to playing more songs off the album, You Should Be So Lucky. Let's have a round of applause out there in Radio Land for our friend Ben Montench on 88.5 KCSN.